40 years ago, this Aretha Franklin record arrived with the impact of an asteroid. Respect hit number one on June 3rd, 1967, and it's been part of our lives ever since. The song was adopted as an anthem by the civil rights movement, by feminists. Music critics rank it somewhere between great and perfect. It's been featured in dozens of movies and television shows. It's still on the radio and on every karaoke machine in existence. If Respect was part of the soundtrack to your life in the last four decades, tell us how. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And you can also TCB on our blog. That's at npr.org/blog. The nation. Marking this momentous event with us is Kelly Carter, music reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me here today, Neil.
And Kelly Carter joins us from our member station in Detroit, WDET. Put this song in a broader context for us, if you would. 1967, a pivotal year in the civil rights movement. The war at Vietnam is at its height, a tumultuous year.
Absolutely. And you also had a lot of racial disparities that were going on in 1967. I mean, the civil rights movement, from a lot of different historical people who chart, you know, history, consider it to be waning at that point in time. And people were kind of getting restless about the state of affairs. And so you had a lot of race riots that were breaking out all over the country as well, you know, in places like Tampa and Newark. And then here, of course, in Detroit, you had one of the country's most gross examples of a riot here. So that song came at a time when a lot of movement was happening.
And it taken as an anthem by a lot in the civil rights movement and a lot of people who were pretty angry, too.
Absolutely. I mean, on the surface, it's a song. It's about a man and a woman and kind of the goings on inside of that relationship. But people really took a broad interpretation of that song and certainly applied it to their real lives, whether it was respect inside of, you know, an office or respect, you know, inside of the real world.
Now, a lot of people reading between the lines of a lot of songs in those days.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you also have to acknowledge that 1967 was a year that a lot of really, really great music came out. So for a song to stand out amongst the Beatles and the Doors, Summer of Love, and the Monterey Pop Festival, which, of course, you know, kind of introduced us to people like Janis Joplin, you really had to be doing something special. So I would have to say that, you know, Aretha Franklin covering, you know, Otis Redding's version of Respect certainly, you know, was one of those songs.
People don't tend to remember a lot, but indeed the song was written by and first performed on record by the great Otis Redding.
Hey, little girl, you are sweet as a promise, and I'm about to give you all of my money, but all I want you to do...
And you can instantly hear tremendous differences between those two versions of the same song.
You can. It's more than that, too. You know, even some of Franklin's contemporaries who were making music at that time, they weren't aware that Otis Redding had actually released that song beforehand. They thought it was a completely different song when Aretha came out with it. Mm. And it certainly sounds dramatically different, too.
You note that at a couple of different points in his career, Otis Redding made remark as my song stolen by a girl.
He did. You know, he said that famously at the Monterey Pop Festival. And Jerry Wexler, who is 90 years old, and I was able to interview him for the story, told me that he was actually laying down this track in the studio when Otis Redding came by and kind of ruefully, you know, said, "This little girl stole my record," as if he knew upon hearing that initial recording that it was going to do some really great things on the radio and in people's lives.
Let's get some callers on the line. If you'd like to join us to reminisce about 40 years of respect, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. Martha's with us. Martha's on the line from Newton, Massachusetts.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a brief comment that this song, just, I can never turn it off. I always have to listen to it to the very end. It was sort of a battle cry for my friends and I when we were in college about 20 years ago, and always managed to bring out the shyest one of our roommates, and just really kind of turned her around and got her ready for the evening.
I don't think there's a person on the planet who's ever heard this song who has not put a fake microphone in their hands and said, "Sock it to me" at some
exactly.
point.
Exactly. And we have the pictures to prove it. So it's great to have a show just on this topic. So thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Martha. And we mentioned Kelly Carter, the song seized upon as an anthem by the civil rights movement, by feminists, of course. But it became a universal song, as that call suggests.
I mean, absolutely. You know, certainly the one thing that every human, I think, wants at the end of the day is respect. And so for that reason alone, you know, that very simple notion really connected and resonated with a lot of different music consumers.
One of the musicians on the record is with us here now, the saxophonist Charlie Chalmers. He's also a record producer, songwriter, and arranger, and one of the saxophonists on this track. Nice to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored that you called.
Well, set the scene for us. The record was recorded Valentine's Day, 1967.
Yes, and we recorded that at Atlantic Recording Studio in New York, and we were in the middle of finishing up an album on Aretha, and that was one of the songs in it, of course, and it was history in the making, no doubt.
And when it was being made, did people look around at each other and say, "Oh my gosh, this is important"?
Yes, after the record was finished, which about 5 minutes on the playback after we recorded it, because back then we recorded everything, just about everything live, because the technology was not what it is today. And so one of the second thing that was done after the track and the vocal was done, which Aretha sang and played piano at the same time, did her main vocal right on the spot with the rhythm section and the horns. Those were not overdubbed. But she and her sister, Carol, did the backup vocals right after the record was complete.
Mm-hmm.
And that afternoon, everyone was just really freaking out over what a groove it was. And it was just a natural. There was no doubt about that.
You were one of the saxophonists, but not the person
right.
who played the...
King Curtis, who was also in the section, he played the solo. But I had just come off of a Wilson Pickett record, Land of a Thousand Dances, that I had done the solo on. So we had quite a tight little horn section there with King Curtis and myself, Floyd Newman, Wayne Jackson, and... So it was tight. We played together on a lot of hits.
I wonder, you've done an awful lot in the music business and played on an awful lot of records and an awful lot of hits. You've been a songwriter. You've done a lot of different things. I suspect maybe that one day stands out, though.
Oh, it absolutely does. The times that we were recording for Atlantic, everything practically that we did was a hit at that time. It was just a magic moment in time for sure, and it was the change over from for R&B music, it was the change over to pop crossover at that time, and that was when all of that happened.
So an explosion for a lot of work, I suspect, for all of those who participated in the record and all those in the business, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a lot of work, and it was sort of a click because there was a handful of us that worked together, and we worked together so well that the people that would come and record with us wanted that sound and that section and the rhythm section as well. Roger Hawkins on drums and also Tommy Cogbill on bass, and Chips Mullin was in there on guitar, and Spooner Oldham on keyboards. It was really a great combination of people.
And for the rest of your life, I guess that's something to be really proud of.
Yes, sir, for sure. And it brings people to me even today. I have my recording studio and production company here in Branson, and I do a lot of production for a lot of young people, and that's one of the things they come to me for, is to get that funky kind of sound, you know, that we created back then.
It's sad that King Curtis killed not long after that in an incident in New York City. And of the musicians on that record, I think, other than Aretha herself, you're the last survivor.
Well, I think I'm one of the last survivors. I haven't thought about that. Is Roger Hawkins? What about him?
I'm not sure. I was told that you were the last survivor, but I may be wrong on that.
I'm not so sure. I think Spooner, too, is still around with us. So I'm not really sure about that. I know Tommy Cogbill, he died in 82. It was really freaky. I mean, he had a blood clot in his leg, and he was in a recording session in Nashville at the time, and that was really shocking.
Charlie Chalmers, we hope we're going to talk to you again in another 40 years.
Well, I hope so. If things keep going like they are, I should be around. You can check my website, and that's a recent picture on there. So I'm holding up pretty good.
Charlie Chalmers, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Producer, arranger, songwriter Charlie Chalmers, who played sax on Aretha Franklin's Respect, Kelly Carter, they put together a multimedia presentation to mark the 40th anniversary of Respect, and you can find it through a link at npr.org/blogofthenation. So if you want to check that out, or you can join our conversation now, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Kelly Carter is our guest, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Jack. Jack with us from Tree City in Georgia.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I've always loved your show. I really appreciate you guys doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was telling the lady on the line, back when the Rolling Stones did their 40 Licks tour, had the good fortune, a friend of mine, he's an Irish fiddler named Frankie Gavin, has played with the Stones on a couple of albums, and he's a good friend, and he invited me up to go backstage and meet Keith Richards. And I got to do that, was real excited about that. And right before the show, Ronnie Wood came in, and they talked a little bit, and then they put Aretha's Respect on the big CD player they had in the room there and jammed out to it. It just gave me chill bumps. Absolutely
wow.
Amazing.
Quite an opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah, Jack, thanks very much.
You bet. Take care.
Here's an email we got from Landis in Richmond, California. I've long had this question when attempting to sing along, usually badly. What is the line after R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Something along the lines of take care T-C-B or take out E-C-T? And if that's not obvious, what does it mean? If you can get an answer to that, I'd be extremely grateful.
I have an answer for him.
Go ahead, please.
it's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Take care, T-C-B. And T-C-B is short for take care of business, which was something that was pretty popular in the black vernacular back in the 1960s. And that actually was part of an ad lib that Aretha Franklin did on that song. And so initially with the song lyrics, it was written down incorrectly because no one knew what she was saying exactly. But what she was saying was take care, T-C-B.
Let's get another caller on the line. Sue. Sue's with us from Fort Lauderdale in Florida.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to let you know that one time I was heading up I-95 heading to Jacksonville, and I had the radio on very loud, of course, and I saw these people pulling off the side of the road on I-95. And I looked behind me, and I see the shuttle taking off, and I was just right at Titusville, so it was really close, and the smoke was going up, and Respect came on. And, oh, my God, I pulled off the side of the road, and I'm sitting there watching this phenomenal vision with this beautiful song. And to this day, every time I hear Respect, I think of that. Seeing that shuttle taking off. So it's just the best memory of that song. And I've always loved Aretha.
And I think everybody would agree she has the right stuff.
It definitely was a perfect song because all of a sudden I had so much respect for mankind as they're pushing this vessel up towards the sky. So it was perfect.
Sue, thanks very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
And let's see if we can squeeze in one last call. This is Andreas. Andreas with us from North Carolina.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
First of all, big fan.
Thank you.
Love what you guys do. Thank you very much.
And your story about Respect.
Oh, yeah. I was deployed in Iraq with the 1st Armored Division, and we had a CD that would play before convoys that was American Icon songs. And R-E-S-P-E-C-T was right before Sweet Home Alabama and right after Horse with No Name. And that's where I remember it, because it was the one song where everybody would know, you know, the Northerners, the Southerners, you know, Unita, Little Mix, and that's what... It'll hold a place in my memory forever. Great, great song.
Andreas, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, bye.
And I think Kelly Carter, everybody can agree on that. This is an iconic American song.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's one that has certainly stood the test of time and will likely continue to stand the test of time.
And, of course, special pride in Detroit, even though the song was recorded in New York City.
Even though it was recorded in New York City, it still reflects Detroit most certainly.
Kelly Carter, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
Kelly Carter is a music writer for the Detroit Free Press. And again, there's a multimedia presentation to mark the 40th anniversary of Respect. And you can find it through a link at npr.org/blogofthenation. Ira Flatow's here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll see you again Monday. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.